It's our weekly look at Congress. After a big announcement last Thursday that Iran and the world powers had reached a framework agreement, members of Congress have been weighing in. This week, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer challenged the White House, saying he wants Congress to have a say on any final agreement the Obama administration makes.
And Kentucky Senator Rand Paul threw his hat into the ring yesterday to compete for the Republican presidential nomination.
Paul Singer is out this week. His colleague Cooper Allen joins us. He's the politics and Congress editor at USA Today. Cooper, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Congress, now starting with Republicans, now an increasing number of Democrats, they want to have a say on this Iran nuke deal as it comes down the pike. And hence now we have this proposed bill that would give them that say, would give them authority. What do we know about what the bill says?
Well, we know it's got a lot of support, as you said, certainly among Republicans and an increasing number of Democrats. It would basically give Congress 60 days to review a final agreement, which would likely come in June, and it would prevent the Obama administration from withdrawing sanctions against Iran during that time while Congress reviews it. So the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is marking up the bill this Tuesday, April 14th, which is chaired by Bob Corker. So it's going to be interesting to see how many Democrats come on board and whether Republicans and supporters of the bill can get to that magic number in the Senate of 67, which would give them a veto-proof majority, which would effectively eliminate President Obama's option of killing the bill and would give Congress a lot of authority on this.
And of course, the president would like to kill that bill. What does the White House need to do if it wants to persuade Democrats not to get on board with it?
Well, the interesting thing about this is supporters of the bill have two really strong things going for them. One, the chief sponsor, the chairman of the committee, Bob Corker, is not a firebrand, really vituperative anti-Obama figure among congressional leaders. You know, President Obama today called him, and the White House has said positive things about him. So it might be easier for Democrats to feel comfortable challenging the president on this, knowing that the chief sponsor of the bill is not really someone who at least appears that he's trying to score political points. And the other thing, as you mentioned, Chuck Schumer has jumped on board, and Schumer was a prominent figure among Democrats already, but certainly in recent weeks, after this surprising news that Harry Reid was retiring, and Democrats quickly coalesced around Schumer as the next Senate Democratic leader when the next Congress convenes. So that's another reason why Democrats that may be wavering about whether they wanted to challenge President Obama, they might feel more comfortable knowing that their future leader in the Senate is on board with this. So the White House probably has a tough sales job ahead to keep enough Democrats from jumping to the other side on this.
Are there key Democrats that both supporters and the White House are watching to make sure to see whether they show signs of wavering and maybe being interested in supporting this bill?
Well, there are a couple of Democrats in recent days that it looked like they were going to support the bill, but now they're kind of hedging a little. Chris Coons in Delaware, Mark Warner from Virginia. So if members like that start to indicate that they will support the White House on this, that could be a sign that supporters won't be able to get to 67 and a veto would be upheld. But we should know more on Tuesday when the committee marks it up to see just how much support they ultimately get in committee. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated after the bill is approved by the committee that he'll likely bring it up fairly soon thereafter. So this process could play out pretty quickly.
Is there anything that the White House could do to assure Congress that it's being heard, that maybe without this bill, some of their considerations can be taken into account?
That might take a member by member sales job for this, because there is a lot of there is an underlying desire among both parties that Congress just wants a say in this, regardless of whether you support the president or not. They want a say on such an important foreign policy matter. So whether the president has to give, you know, some concessions on sanctions or not, we'll see. You know, we only do at this point have a framework for an agreement. So there are still a lot of details to be worked out in the next couple of months with Iran and amongst the major powers who are negotiating this on the final details. So there may be some leeway where the White House can kind of assure wavering Democrats that they wouldn't be giving away too much. But it looks like it's going to be pretty close, you know, in a final vote.
We're talking with Cooper Allen from USA Today about the latest news from Congress. And yesterday, Rand Paul joined Ted Cruz as the second official contender for the Republican nomination. How did that announcement compare with Cruz's?
Well, it was a little more traditional in just sort of the stagecraft. Ted Cruz kind of walked the stage in Lynchburg. And also the location was more traditional. You know, Rand Paul did it from Louisville, his home state. Ted Cruz went to Virginia, which not only wasn't his home state, it wasn't even one of the early voting states like Iowa or New Hampshire. And interestingly enough, it looked like today we saw numbers that Cruz's announcement made a much bigger impact on Facebook. You know, we read into that what you will. That doesn't necessarily signal any long-term trends ahead. But so Paul's the latest, and we're expecting another one Monday evening when Marco Rubio has promised a big announcement in Miami. So that will bring to three the number of Republican senators who have officially announced. Lindsey Graham is also, you know, considered a possible candidate, though he's considered a tier below those three. So we'll see. Cruz and Paul will be competing for a lot of the same supporters, and Rubio. They all kind of came to the Senate since 2010 and 2012 with Cruz, with a lot of Tea Party support. So they're really going to have to jockey to kind of emerge as the favored candidate of the Tea Party in the months ahead.
Now, Rand Paul is considered a long shot. He's a libertarian-leaning candidate. But do fringe candidates like Paul have a decent shot of at least shaping the discourse as the primary unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious comparison for Paul is to his father, Ron, who ran in 2012 and 2008 and even in 1988 as a libertarian nominee. And Rand Paul is certainly considered a much more credible candidate than his father. He has broader appeal, and his foreign policy positions are more likely to be considered more mainstream than Ron Paul's, especially among more conservative Republican primary voters. So he can certainly, at the very least, shape the debate. And it wouldn't be surprising if he does gain some traction in states like New Hampshire, where he's polling reasonably well right now. So the key will be in a crowded field whether he can kind of emerge from this cluster of candidates who are all competing for the same ground. And we'll see. You know, the next few months will largely be about who can make headway in fundraising. And then in August and September, when the first debates start, we'll probably really start to see the contrasts and the battling amongst those Tea Party candidates kind of surface.
And before we let you go, we should talk about the confirmation of Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch. Where is that process right now?
Yeah, that has gone on for much longer than certainly the White House would have preferred. So Loretta Lynch's nomination right now, first of all, it's if it were to come to a vote tomorrow or Monday, which it won't, it would be very close by all accounts. It may come down even to Vice President Biden's tie-breaking vote as president of the Senate. But the key now is just getting it to a vote. A human trafficking bill, which was thought to be not controversial at all, has been held up in the Senate over some abortion funding language that Democrats, when it first surfaced in committee, didn't even realize was in it. So now we're at an impasse over this human trafficking bill, which, until it gets resolved, Mitch McConnell has said he will not bring Loretta Lynch's nomination to a vote. So it's a lot of moving parts have to kind of be resolved before we can even get to a vote. And when we do, it's going to be it looks to be a very tight one. So that's something that, you know, we don't really have a time frame for when that'll be resolved. But her nomination has been pending for a while now. So there will probably be increased pressure to kind of resolve this one way or another in the next few weeks.
Cooper, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Cooper Allen, politics and Congress editor at USA Today with the latest from Washington. Join us every Wednesday at this time for a look at the latest from Congress.